Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
At your service, it's the Garden Hotline, sponsored by Chesterfield Valley Nursery, a celebration of his beauty on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Good morning and welcome to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West. I am your host and director of horticulture for Pointer Landscape. And it's a cold one out there today, so not sure how many of you guys are in for the day, or if you're going to brave the cold and do any gardening outside. I, for one, do not plan on braving any cold. I am a fair weather gardener, I think. But we do have some great conversation ahead of us today. I have a guest in the studio for you guys. Amanda Wood is a certified arborist through the International Society of Arboriculture, with 7 years of experience of working in urban forestry throughout the U.S., but originates from Belleville, Illinois. She is also an urban forestry professional, and she recently worked as an urban forester in Cleveland, Ohio, helping communities increase tree canopy, preserve trees, and help the next generation of arborists build skills to care for the urban forest. Currently, she's a community forester for the St. Louis region, for the Missouri Department of Conservation. She covers Crawford, Franklin, Jefferson, Lincoln, St. Charles, the southern portion of St. Louis, Washington, and Warren County. She's a budding gardener, but an avid baker, which I'm into, with a passion for discovering local spots for good food and coffee. Amanda, thanks for coming in this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's super exciting. I mean, I want to focus in on the good food and coffee, but I know that you're here to talk about other things.
I mean, coffee is plants, so.
I mean, that's true. It does connect. So maybe later we'll discuss a good food spot and coffee spot here locally. But tell us about yourself. How did you get into community forestry?
Yeah, so I kind of had a roundabout way getting into urban forestry. So in college, I really wanted to study orchids for a little bit. And then I had a study abroad experience where I really was engaging with the local community to learn more about their trees and conservation. And I thought, you know, there's all this happening outside of the United States, but you know, what about my own backyard? You know, I should probably focus in on, you know, my local area.
Sure.
And so from there, I was like, well, I don't have, I graduated, you know, from Illinois College. And I was like, I don't have the skills to do urban forestry. So I went to grad school, kind of a little late to figure that out. And then I went to grad school where I really focused in on urban forestry, finished the program. I had an internship at the, you know, nearby public garden where I was, which was in Philadelphia. And then after that, I got done and I was like, I can't identify a tree to save my life right now.
Oh, no.
Which was bad. And so, you know, I got experience working for Davie Resource Group doing tree inventories. And so it kind of all started from there. But I really found that I enjoy connecting with people. And, you know, tree ID is great. We love IDing a tree, especially at a, you know, a little cocktail party. And you go, what tree is this? And you can have a cool skill to do. But I really love in connecting with people and like talking about trees and how to increase canopy or how to preserve, you know, any trees. So that's kind of like how it all started.
So what is a community forester exactly?
That's a really great question. So how I, you know, I see it as is that I'm really focusing in on not just the tree side of it, but also the people side of it. Community forestry often, you know, is in the name community. And that's often is you can have community plants, which is fair, but focusing in on those, that human interaction with trees, whether it's positive or negative. So really, like, how are trees in our urban spaces and how are we preserving them? But how are also people feeling about trees and how can we help them either get over a fear of trees or encourage them to keep loving their trees?
Well, I'm not laughing at anybody's fear. I'm just thinking about a fear of trees. You guys, we have super knowledgeable tree person, a tree nerd, if you will, in the studio to answer any of your questions today. We can answer any questions about your plants, but very specific tree day is possible. 314-436-7900 is the number to call and chat with us about your tree or any other garden question. You can also text that line as well if you don't want to call in and chat with us. Texting is also an option. So back to this community forestry, and it seems like a great fit for you. I mean, if you're super into trees and into connecting with people, you know, part of your job now, I mean, I guess it's the whole part of your job now is connecting those two things together. And you get to, you know, do all of that stuff. What's a typical day in your job look like for you?
It depends, especially on season. Like, for example, right now, trees are, you know, they don't have their leaves.
Sure.
It's typically sometimes we're planning, especially because in April, Arbor Day is happening. And, you know, this is the time that if you are planning for the spring, you're thinking about, you know, what trees do you want? How are you ordering them? Where are you sourcing them from? That's typically more winter. It's, you know, it's a little cold. So I like to focus in on workshops that are inside. But then in the spring, it varies because you're outside more. Things are really starting to pop off. You can actually see if trees are budding out or not. So it's going to be a little bit more field work there. Sometimes it's doing site visits and checking on communities or municipalities to see how things are going and providing technical expertise. And sometimes it's, if the weather's bad, staying inside. So the nice thing about this job is that it's very flexible when it comes to it. It's not stuck at a desk 9 to 5.
Love that.
Which is, for me, really well. But yeah, it just kind of depends.
So let's talk a little bit about winter and even fall. Going back into fall, we were really having some drought conditions late summer. Summer seemed to extend really far into the fall. You know, we're not, we've had a ton of snowfall and rain in the last few weeks. But what does that mean for us? What does it mean for our trees when we have these kinds of weather patterns that we've had the last couple years, really? You know, what does that mean for our trees and what can we do moving forward through the winter specifically? What can we do now to make sure our trees stay healthy?
That's also a really great question. So when it comes to periods of drought, trees, especially mature trees, also need some TLC. So young trees should be receiving water at least once a week. Depending on the size, it can, you know, you should increase, but at least 10 gallons of water a week. And mature trees, people often don't think that they need to be watered. But when it starts to get 3-4 weeks without rain, you should be watering those trees. If we think about trees as people, when we get older, we can't tolerate, you know, changes well. It's the same thing with trees.
Yes.
They can't tolerate big changes well. So either not having a lot of water or having too much water. So what we can do now in the winter is really be thinking of how we're going to get water to our trees when there's drought. If there's, do we have mulch already? Are we going to be mulching our trees in the spring? Doing any pruning, for example? That's not necessarily related to drought care, but wintertime is a wonderful time to be pruning your trees. As long as it's above, I believe it's 20 degrees, it's either 20 or 32, but which is a big range.
Make sure it's warmer than today, for
yes.
sure.
So that's a great time to prune because then the tree is dormant and we can actually like do the corrective pruning or the strategic, like, planning for, oh, this branch is hitting our building. Let's go ahead and cut that off now. You can do that now while it has no leaves. The tree hasn't put energy into creating leaves. It's dormant. So this is the best time versus like in the summer where it already spent that time and energy to make those leaves. And then you cut them off and it's kind of like, well, that's how it was photosynthesizing and creating energy. So,
yeah. And, you know, we talk about that a lot, the timing of pruning and we talk about this dormant pruning a lot. But, you know, and it does relate back to that drought care. Your tree, your overall health of the tree is going to help if we do have this stressful drought time. So proper pruning and all of that stuff does help. We are going to take a quick break. Then we're going to come back and get to your questions. 314-436-7900 is the number to call. It's the Garden Hotline on 1041 KMOX. We are back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West. I am your host and director of horticulture for Pointer Landscape. And my guest today is Amanda Wood, a community forester with the St. Louis region of the Department of Conservation. Again, Amanda, thanks so much for being here with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So we kind of Googled, we verified the pruning temperatures on the break. Amanda wants to make sure that y'all know what it is, the correct temperature range.
It is 32 degrees, not 20. I wouldn't be outside probably when it's 20 degrees personally, but 32 degrees is when you should stop cutting your trees.
All right. We're going to go straight to the phone lines. We've got Anne on the line. Anne, thanks for your patience. Go ahead with your question.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I really enjoy the program. I think you're doing a great job as host. I love that you have a guest on about trees, but I have a question that's not about trees.
No problem.
I took your advice and I bought something off the clearance rack at the end of the season.
All right. Clearance
rack. The Calibrachoa.
Okay.
And it did great in a potted outside.
Sure.
In a display. I'm going to try to winter it over. Do you have any hints other than trying to give it as much sun as possible?
Yeah, I don't. I don't. I've never overwintered Calibrachoa before. I love that as an annual for the pots. It's a great go-to one with season long color, so great choice for a little spiller in your annual containers. And I'm sure, just like anything else, it is possible to overwinter. And like everything else, you're going to want to reduce watering when you bring it inside. You're obviously not going to need to water it as much as you would when it's outside. Definitely as much sunlight as you can get it. I would not fertilize or anything like that. And then just check as far as that watering goes, just check, you know, stick your finger in there. If it's starting to dry out, give it a little water. But just be cautious. You know, a lot of these types of plants that we're overwintering, we tend to overwater and then they get pest and disease issues or root rot, or they're just not happy. So probably less water than you would probably typically, you know, naturally want to do. But, you know, I think it's probably not going to look good. It'll probably go through a period of looking a little shabby because it's, you know, it's not where it wants to be. So I wouldn't fret if that's the case. But, you know, as long as you keep it alive, then when springtime comes, it will flush back out.
Thanks a lot. That watering is a helpful tip. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for the call. Up next, we have Walter on the line. Walter, go ahead with your question.
Yeah, I started a Osage orange tree from a seed about a year ago, and I still got it in the house. I'm going to plant it in the spring, and I'm wondering if it should be outside for winter?
That is a great question.
It's about 12 inches tall.
Does it currently have leaves right now, or is it dormant? It has leaves.
It has leaves, yes.
So I would definitely leave it inside for the winter, especially because it hasn't, dropped its leaves. What you could do and what I would recommend is in the spring, if you have a garage or whatnot, or like a sunroom or, in a spot that's like sheltered but colder, is to transition it there for a couple of days before planting it in your yard or whatnot. Trees...
I figured I'd do that and harden it to sunlight before I put it out.
Yeah, so typically now our Osage oranges in nature have dropped their leaves. So I think the tree that you have is like it's gotten cozy. It's in a warm spot. It's doing great. And if you just threw it straight out into the yard now, I think
shock.
it would go into shock. So Michelle mentioned, just water periodically. The one thing I would encourage is once you do plant it, water it once a week, depending on the size, 10 gallons of water, unless it's rained an inch and then you don't need to water, and mulching and staking the tree and making sure that it is doing great.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Walter. It was a great question. We get an awful lot of questions about people, starting from a seed or seedlings. It's always like the kind of science experiment behind it. The Department of Conservation does a lot of seedling. You can purchase tree seedlings from you guys, right?
Yeah, you can. So we have a nursery that you can purchase seedlings in bulk. If I remember correctly, I think we are sold out already. But you're welcome to check periodically for different seedlings. There might be some that we have a lot of that we... have later. So like I think there's some pin oaks, for example, that there's a bunch of, but I would be very cautious about planting those due to the gall issue.
Oh yeah, the gall is a popular question that callers always have concerns about. Talk to us a little bit about that gall on the oak trees.
Well, so the big thing about that is it's usually not the thing that kills your tree. It's
right.
The secondary cause. So I think as we mentioned before, trees can get really stressed out. Much like humans, they don't do well with stress. Like if for a person, if we get sick, if we're stressed out, either due to work or you're not sleeping enough or you're not eating healthy or whatnot, you get stressed and then you can get a cold or something more serious. And then typically you bounce back. Trees are a similar situation of they get stressed either due to a lot of rain, not enough rain, no mulch in the wrong site. And then something else comes along, and for trees, they don't have the same type of like immune system and whatnot, or, if it's a persisting issue, then the secondary thing might be the thing that, makes it
right
into firewood. so then, gall is that type of situation. Is usually it's not the cause, it is the secondary thing. So there's an environmental stressor. So taking care of your trees, watering during drought, mulching, I would not. If you're going to do fertilizer, make sure to do a soil test prior to make sure you are adding the correct nutrients into there. So that's kind of the answer. There's not really a chemical or a pesticide to stop that at the moment. So
yeah, it's just one of those things. And we get, like I said, we just get a ton of questions about it. It's a weird little thing to see. You walk out, it can be alarming to people that aren't sure what it is to walk out and see all of those things on your tree. So Steve is on the line. Steve, go ahead with your question.
Okay. I have a Japanese maple. It's an upright. Not sure which one, but over the years I've been trimming it, and at the end of the main limbs coming off the trunk, the main trunk, over the years I've been trimming it, there's a bunch of like smaller limbs, 10, 15, maybe 20 big clumps of them. Could a person cut those off to where you got the main limb coming off the main trunk and it would come back in the spring?
So it kind of sounds like you have water sprouts happening from your tree. So usually what can happen is you prune a branch or whatnot, and then right at the base of that pruning cut, there's a bunch of sprouts that come out. Does that sound correct in what you're describing?
pretty well.
Yeah, so those are water sprouts. It's just typically the tree's response to having something happen, and then it's like, oh, I lost a limb there, let me add more. You can prune them.
Okay.
I would caution with the amount of pruning. So trees typically, especially mature trees, if it's been in the ground more than 20 years, then that's a mature tree, and they don't handle changes as well, like I said before. So you don't want to prune that much. If it's a younger tree, typically they can handle a little bit more, aggressive pruning. So I would just caution with how much pruning you are doing. So typically for older ones, I wouldn't do more than like 10% of the canopy. For younger trees that can handle that, you can do a 25 to 30% of the canopy.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, good luck with that, Steve. Great questions already this morning. If you guys have questions to ask of us about trees or plants, or, maybe you just want to say hi, 314-436-7900. That is the number to call or text the Garden Hotline. It's 1041 KMOX.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed's sponsored jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
We're back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser West, Director of Horticulture for Pointer Landscape, and I am joined today by Amanda Wood, a community forester for the Department of Conservation. We've been talking about trees. We've been talking about plants. We're here to answer your questions, 314-436-7900. You can call us. You can text us with your questions, and we're going to go straight to a question from a caller. We have Carol on the line. Carol, go ahead with your question.
Oh, hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate all the information you share. I have a Rose of Sharon, and it seems to be shooting up little volunteers in the yard. And two parts. Is that caused by the root tunneling and making a new tree, or is it dropping seed somehow and growing that way?
What's the second part of your question?
How do I get rid of it?
I was going to say, that's a great second question.
Yeah.
So Rose of Sharon naturally is just a little bit more shrubby, so it will send out. It also is an aggressive cedar in the sense that it does, you know, can overcome garden beds. So that's just unfortunately the nature of the of that plant. What you can do is try to dig out the roots of it, do a cut, and then remove, you know, the roots. You could try and use chemicals. I'm always hesitant to recommend that just because some plants take certain, you know, herbicide, and I'm not a an herbicide person. I don't have the certification for it, nor I think the normal everyday person is. So you can try, like, physically removing the root system, and same thing with the babies that come up.
Yeah, it is just, you know, like Amanda said, it's a weedy. I had one in my yard when I purchased my house, and I left it in for a couple of years, and it's regrettable because I'm still dealing with the seeds. You know, just when I think I have all the little seedlings under control, I'll plant something new in a bed and bring some of those old weeds or the old seeds to the surface, and then I get more of them. So removal, if you don't want those seedlings, you can remove the plant. You know, like Amanda said, it spreads through those suckers and the seeds. If you can't get rid of it right away, you can also try to deadhead it and keep those flowers from going to seed. That will lessen the number of seeds that you have. But again, I don't personally have time to go out there and deadhead and prune and stuff. So I personally just got rid of mine. You know, they say there are cultivars of this that are coming out that are sterile. You can believe that or not. You know, they said the Bradford pear was sterile, and now it's all over the place. So, you know, it's not an aggressive thing. I don't think, Amanda, correct me if I'm wrong, we're not seeing that in our woodlands yet, are you? So it's not super aggressive, but it is weedy.
Not that I'm aware of. I will say I did start in August.
She's got a caveat. She's just freshly back to this area.
Yes, so I am really fresh when it comes to that. But what you can do if you want more information on that is if you go to mdc.mo.gov and type in Rose of Sharon into the search bar, it can pull up any information, especially if it is in our natural areas. And that's pretty much the same for any, like if you have any question or conservation related question, that's definitely a good spot to check things out.
Thanks for the question, Carol, and the phone call. Up next, we're going to go straight to Joyce. Joyce, you're on the air. Go ahead with your question.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies. I have a evergreen bush / tree because it's grown so much. It's still beautiful and healthy, and I know that they always drop some needles. A couple things. This year, it seems that it's dropping more than usual, and I don't know if it's because of the height. It's grown quite a bit taller. But the real concern I have is, because it's dropping all those needles, should I remove those dead needles? Because they're dropping actually into a flower bed. And I don't know if I should remove those because of the acidity of the needles. And quite frankly, it's very unsightly. So should I I've done that before years ago, and I just used a garden rake as best I could to get them up. I didn't obviously get all of them up. But should I be removing those needles from the flower bed?
That's a really great question. So in terms of the needle drop, what I would encourage, because it's kind of hard to identify what might be causing that without actually seeing the tree or, you know, having pictures, is that you can reach out to a plant healthcare specialist. One resource to find that is on treesaregood.org. And on there, it says find an arborist, and you can type in your zip code and a radius, and then it gives you a giant list of people, and you can see what companies are listed, but then also click on the profile and you can see what it exactly is that they are offering. So are they offering tree risk assessments? Are they offering pruning? And sometimes they will list plant healthcare specialist. And that's a really good resource because they know all the new plants and diseases that are in our area and how to actually handle that as well. So not just identifying the problem, but having a solution. So that's the, in terms of your first question, unfortunately, I can't tell you exactly what might be causing it. You are correct that they do drop needles sometimes. Like even if it's not a deciduous tree, evergreen still drops them. But in terms of removing them, if it is caused by a disease, then you do want to remove the contaminated material just in case. So I think as a precautionary, it wouldn't hurt to do that. And then if you find out that it's actually not from a disease, you don't have to remove them next year. It wouldn't necessarily, I think, impact your bed. I don't think it would. It would act as a protectant and more kind of like mulch. But in terms of like a from a plant healthcare standpoint, it might be best just in case to remove those.
Sure. So the website is trees are good. Is that ARE or trees are?
So oh, that's a really good question. I never thought about that. It's TREESAREGOOD.org
Got it.
Trees are good.
Okay, great. Great. Thank you for your help.
No problem.
Thank you, Joyce, for that question. And, you know, I think we were talking about this a little bit before the show. It's so hard for us to sit here in the studio and answer some of your questions. One, we didn't have a good ID on the tree. She said she had an evergreen. And then two, we can't see it. So there are so many pest and disease issues. And I think I say this all the time when it comes to trees. I personally don't think trees are a DIY situation, especially if they're important to you, especially if they're larger and more mature, even if they're not. You know, getting a certified arborist out there to put eyes on it and make sure that, you know, does it need to be removed? Can it, you know, does there need to be some pruning? Does there need to be fertilization or some kind of treatment? You know, all of those things are options, or maybe it's fine. Maybe it's dropping more needles this year because of the drought. You know, it could be nothing and it could be something. And again, just getting a certified professional out there to look at it is.
Yeah. And what's nice about that website is, if I remember correctly, it only like really lists certified arborists.
Yeah.
So it, you know, that you are getting someone who is up to date, hopefully, on, you know, the best practices for arboriculture.
Yeah. And that's, you know, the certified arborist part, it's really important. There are a lot of tree guys, not knocking tree guys. There are some very knowledgeable tree guys. A lot of tree guys are just out there to remove trees and do some pruning. An arborist, we know that they've taken the test, they've done the educational component to make sure that they really know about the trees that they're coming to look at. So I always recommend that. Make sure they are certified arborist. But we have a lot of great companies here in St. Louis that could help you out on that, Joyce. We're going to take a quick break and then come back and answer some more of your questions. 314-436-7900. That's the number to call or text the Garden Hotline on 1041 KMOX. We are back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West. I am your host. I am also the director of horticulture for Pointer Landscape here in St. Louis. And today I am joined by a community forester, a employee of the Department of Conservation. Amanda Wood is here with us answering all of your tree related questions, conservation questions, you name it. We've been answering it. 314-436-7900. That's the number to call or text. Amanda, how would people get a hold of you or the Department of Conservation if they had a question or needed to use some resources or something? Could you give us that information?
Yes. Yeah, so if you go onto the Missouri Department of Conservation website, mdc.mo.gov, and on the top of the page, there's a, you can select your county. And actually with that, and it'll choose and show you all the information of who are the people you should be reaching out to with various questions. So if you have like a fisheries question, who is the person you should be reaching out to? If you have, you know, private land conservation questions, so if you want to learn more about turning turf into, you know, a prairie, who's the person for that? And that'll also show me if you're in one of the very many counties I listed. And so that's a really good resource. Or if you reach out to any of our nature centers and say that you have a question, they can also put you in contact if you don't feel like looking it up online.
Nice. We have a caller on the line. Donna has been waiting a while. Donna, go ahead with your question.
Good morning, Michelle. Yeah, I think you've already answered my question, but I'm going to still ask anyway. I do have a Coosa dogwood stellar pink tree that looks like it's in some kind of stressful situation. 3 weeks ago, the leaves were a brilliant, beautiful, dark crimson color. And yet, after that windstorm that we had, none of the leaves seemed to have come off. And so I went up to the tree to look at it closely and noticed that the bark on my tree, I love this tree, was peeling. And underneath the bark, the coloration was like a rusty-looking color. I went online to kind of look, see what could possibly be. And I'm wondering if this is a fungus. Or is my tree in decline? The leaves right now are still on there. It breaks my heart to see it because I thought for sure it was going to, at least the leaves would come off, but they're browning out. So do you think this is a fungus? I have another question concerning fungus. With this past summer, with all the humidity and diseases and whatnot out there, How safe is it to eat our vegetables, our dark leafy greens that might have a mold or some kind of spore on it? Is it something we can always see it or something that we don't always see it?
These are great questions. Let's start with your Coosa.
Yeah, so fun fact. We'll start with the easy part first, which is the leaves still being on. So the trees sometimes will naturally just keep their leaves on. So for example, that's very, very common with our oaks and our maples. They'll brown out, but they retain their leaves. So I wouldn't be necessarily too stressed out about that with your dogwood, as long as they are, you know, dying and browning out. So in that case, if it hasn't done that a lot, then that might be out of the normal, but it's not the end of the world if it is keeping them on. In terms of that exfoliating, peeling bark, I will ask, how old is your tree?
I'd say about seven years, and okay. She's about 13 feet tall. The trunk is about 5-inch diameter.
Okay. So well, the real cool thing about trees is they often have like a young bark and then a mature bark. A lot of times the young bark is like smoother or whatnot. That's part of the reason why deer really love like rubbing their antlers on them, is because they're smooth and softer. And as it gets older, it gets into that mature bark. And Coosa dogwoods are actually known for having a more exfoliating bark. Mm-hmm. So the fact that it's peeling does not alarm me for that species. I will say, if you do think that there's a fungus, always, always, always reach out to some professional, certified arborist or plant healthcare specialist to double check that. I think because it is winter, you probably can wait until the spring and then see if it leafs out like normal, or if there are any fruiting bodies of mushrooms that show up to double check. Because also, if you reach out to a certified arborist right now, it's a little too cold to see anything that might be happening. Those are some things you can do. Other things, just to help the health of your tree, if you think that you have this issue, is to reapply mulch. Make sure that your mulch is away from the trunk flare. So about 3 inches. The trunk flare is the part of the tree that goes from the trunk to the roots, and it flares out, hence the name. And make sure that you keep your mulch, whatever mulch you're using, about 3 inches away, so that way it's not promoting any moisture for fungus and pests and whatnot. So,
Okay, I'll think of that too. What about the vegetable thing, the fungus on leafy greens?
That, I mean, this is a great question. I am not a food expert or anything like that. I know, you know, like if I have stored vegetables from my garden before and brought it in and they had a little mold or something on it, I've personally, you know, like washed it off or cut off that section and still eaten it. Again, I am not a food expert in any way, shape, or form, so I wouldn't want to answer that question definitively. And there's so many different types of fungus and bacteria, and I don't know what it is. So I would hate to tell you to eat it and then you get sick. But, you know, I think also different types of vegetables have common bacteria and fungus that grow on it. So you might Google, you know, what vegetable it is and if there's something that commonly grows on it. But I would just, you know, be cautious about anything like that.
Okay. All right. I take that. Thank you. All right. You answered my question. Have a great day.
Thanks so much. We're going to go to the text line and read a text here, and then we'll have to take a quick break. So if you're on the line, I'm sorry, you're going to have to wait a little bit longer, but our text that we got in is a common question. It says, good morning. We had a large pin oak removed from the backyard 3 years ago. It died from goals, and it was about 3 feet in diameter. We had the stump ground down to about 8 to 10 inches. Can I plant a serviceberry tree in the same spot as the pin oak? If not, how far away should it be planted?
That is a really, really good question. So it kind of depends on, can you physically do it? A lot of times when it comes to trees, their roots, you know, their roots extend past to the drip line. So, and that is the edge of the canopy. So as we get closer to the trunk of the tree, their roots get thicker. And so I would just, you know, plant it probably a little bit of a distance so that you're not, you know, fighting those. And also check the soil, because the soil composition might be changing over time as it's decomposing.
Great question. You're listening to the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX. We are back to the second hour of the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West. I am your host and director of horticulture for Pointer Landscape. And my guest today is Amanda Wood, who is a certified arborist through the International Society of Arboriculture with 7 years of experience working in urban forestry throughout the U.S., but originates from Belleville, Illinois. She is also an urban forestry professional. Amanda recently worked as an urban forester in Cleveland, Ohio, helping communities increase tree canopy, preserve trees, and help the next generation of arborists build skills to care for the urban forest. Currently, she is a community forester for the St. Louis region for the Missouri Department of Conservation. She covers Crawford, Franklin, Jefferson, Lincoln, St. Charles, the southern portion of St. Louis, Washington, and Warren County. She's busy. Amanda is a budding gardener, but an avid baker with a passion for discovering local spots for good food and coffee. Amanda, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Second hour, we've been cranking out the questions from you guys. We've had a lot of really great questions, a lot of good texts. If you guys want to call and ask your questions about trees or plants, whatever you want, 314-436-7900. That's the number to call or text. And we're going to jump right back in because we've had some folks on the line for a while. Up first, we're going to go to Mimi. Mimi, you're on the Garden Hotline. Go ahead with your question.
Yes, I have a dogwood tree that was on the property when we bought the house, and so I have no idea how old it is, but it shares the yard with a really large old magnolia tree, so it doesn't get full sun 100%. And in the recent snowstorm that we had a few weeks ago, a large branch broke off, and I think it's kind of been headed down for some time. But my question is, I'd like to replace it. I don't know when to do that. And also I'm wondering, because it does share the yard with the magnolia, whether that would be you know, contraindicated, maybe not put it there, but I really like it. So I'm hoping to be able to replace it. But I think the one that I have is actually gone. It only has one branch now. It used to fork off into three, but now there's only one left. So my question is, can I replace it? And when do I replace it?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So when it comes to replacing the tree, whenever you want to replace the tree is the appropriate time, in the sense of it doesn't need to be declining or not. I do think the best time to physically do it is when the ground isn't frozen, preferably in the spring. That's the best time to plant trees, or the fall. If your tree looks like it's and seems like it's still like putting on leaves and growth, then it still might be, you know, fine. So it kind of is a couple part question because or answer because if the tree looks like it's declining, then you can replace it for sure. But it's also trees are if it's losing a lot of limbs and whatnot, then maybe it is just go ahead, remove it before everything, you know, dies back, and it might be more expensive to do that later. And the other part of the question too is if it seems like it's not getting a lot of sun in that spot, you can choose a more shade tolerant species to go in that location.
Is there a shade tolerant dogwood native to Missouri that could go there?
Not really. Like there's a we have our flowering dogwood that is native. They can do okay in part shade, so that could be an alternative. But there are a bunch of other beautiful flowering trees as well that could be alternatives as well.
How much shade is it getting? Is it full shade or is it part shade? Is it getting any sunlight at all?
No, it gets sunlight on the corner of it in the morning. It gets a good amount of the morning sun, but this magnolia is really hanging over the top of it, so it doesn't get as much sun as it would when it's fully leaved out. I'm looking at it right now as we're talking, and I think what I'll do is, although it's lost a really important branch to it, I think I'm going to let it see how it returns in the spring. It has a nice curve. It just you know, fits the front yard, and I hate to lose it. But if it doesn't come back, I'm going to have to replace it. But I wasn't sure because of the magnolia, whether it's not going to make it.
So I have just 2 points to add to what Amanda said. One, if we're planting a tree right back in that spot, we have to think about you know, you don't know how old they are, but if the magnolia is quite large and your dogwood is larger and a little bit older, then they're going to have some pretty extensive root systems that have probably joined together and are kind of woven together. So when I think about putting a tree exactly back into that space, you know, I wouldn't necessarily recommend grinding out the stumps because it might affect that magnolia and the overall health of that magnolia long term. So I would think about that, potentially not planting a tree exactly where the other one is. So, you know, moving it a little bit further away or selecting a new spot for a flowering tree. And I do like, you know, Amanda's or your decision to kind of wait and see. I'm a wait and see kind of person. And I'm not always that affected by the overall shape or of a tree. You know, people really get stuck on their trees needing to be perfectly round and beautiful for their landscape. But if you think about a dogwood and its natural elements and even redbuds, you know, they're on the forest lines. They're not always perfectly round. They're, you know, maybe a little bit halfway growing. So, you know, to me, that doesn't really matter. The health of the tree would matter. If it comes out in the spring and it's not looking healthy, go ahead and remove it. But you might think about putting another tree, go ahead and planting it. Even if you don't remove that other one, maybe you pick another spot for that dogwood replacement or, you know, another native tree of some kind to put out there. And you go ahead and plant it this spring. And then if that dogwood continues to decline and you need to replace it, then you've already got a tree planted somewhere else.
Yeah, I appreciate the information because I regarding the magnolia, because I wouldn't want to damage that in any way. That's a very old tree, and it seems to be healthy, so I wouldn't want to mess with the roots on that one. But I don't have a lot of space in the front yard, so this, where this dogwood is, would have to be the replacement spot. So I'll have to consider that. But I really appreciate the info. I never thought about the root system, so thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for the call. Up next, we're going to hit Gerald. Gerald, go ahead with your question.
Good morning. I got two, kind of, another, and that second one's not really a question, but the first one, I planted some thornless blackberry plants about 3 years ago, and they're doing good. I've never cut them back, so how much and when should I cut them back?
That's a great question, and I'm trying to remember the sequence. Do you know what it's like every couple of years? It's like blackberries grow on the new. Amanda's looking at me like I'm nuts.
In my description it says a budding gardener. So unfortunately blackberries are a little outside of my area of expertise, but I'm sure that if you looked through like Missouri Botanical Gardens or another like gardening related source, it probably will list when the best time to do that.
You know, another great source that I love for fruits, I mentioned it I think last week, is Stark Brothers Nursery. It's an online resource for fruit trees, nut trees, things like that. But one of the great things that I love about them and their website is how much detail and educational stuff that they have online for how to plant, how to prune, how to overall care for all these different types of trees, and with specifically fruit trees and nut trees and blackberry, blueberry, raspberry bushes, all kinds of edible woody plants. So I would recommend going on to that Stark Brothers, that's S-T-A-R-K Bros, B-R-O-S.com. And they have just a wealth of information. And they're in Missouri, so they really know what to do with edible plants and things like that for Missouri.
Yeah, my that's where the majority of my blocks came from, was Stark Brothers, and actually they produce bigger, thicker blackberries than where I got the other ones from.
Yeah, and I think it's a summertime pruning. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I'm pretty sure that blackberries get pruned after they flower in the summertime. But it's a great resource. It's where I always go for my fruit knowledge. I'm sorry we couldn't be. I'm just learning about growing food. I'm a, you know, residential ornamental horticulture. So so I hope that helps. And thanks for the call, Gerald.
Yeah, the second one's just a comment, but I've been infested with the wild honeysuckle out here. So what I did about 5 or 6 years ago, I went and purchased one of those walk behind brush hogs.
Yeah.
Like you pull a tractor when you walk behind it, the Bradley Brush Buster. And if that thing will go over top of the brush, it'll cut it down, it'll pulverize it. Of course, you have to spray still because the roots will come back. But anyway, I've had real good luck with it.
Well, thank you for that comment. You know, Gerald, if you've ever listened to the show, you know I love talking about getting rid of honeysuckle. So that's a great tip. I think, you know, brush hog is awesome. And then, like you said, definitely a little bit of herbicide to those fresh cuts after you do it. And hopefully we can help contain and get rid of some of this honeysuckle and help that invasive problem. So thanks so much for your call, Gerald. All right, we're going to take a quick break, guys. Then we'll be back to answer more of your questions. 314-436-7900. That's the number to call or text. It's the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX. Are back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West. I am the Director of Horticulture for Pointer Landscape and your host of this fine show. And today I have Amanda Wood here with me talking trees, talking all kinds of stuff about plants, not so much about the blackberries. We sucked at that question. Amanda is a community forester for the Department of Conservation. If you guys have questions for us, give us a call, 314-436-7900. You can also text that number if you don't want to call and chat with us. Amanda, what's going on over there at the Department of Conservation? Anything cool coming up?
Yeah, we have a bunch of cool things. But one thing to really highlight is that every Tuesday, we have a Tuesday Trekkers program where you can walk through and get, you know, your weekly dose of nature. And they're guided walks that talk through the fauna and flora. We do have one at Powder Valley located in Kirkwood. It is every Tuesday at 9 a.m. But I would encourage that you look on the events page because where they meet up might change in terms of at the visitor center or at the start of a trail or whatnot. And so that's one that's really cool. And it happens every Tuesday.
And it's super close here. I don't know if y'all haven't been out to Powder Valley. It's a great center. They have a little visitor center with information and learning materials and a lot of the printout stuff that the Department of Conservation provides. They also have that turtle. Have you been there?
Yes, that's actually where my office is.
Is it?
It is. Not to, you know, give a location tour. You can find me there if you have questions. But yeah, Peanut, the turtle is there.
Yeah, I remember. I mean, that's been there for as long as I can remember. But if you haven't been out to Powder Valley, it's a great, great spot. So check that out. And I love the idea of meeting up and doing nature walks to learn with folks. You guys offer so many great things. We'll talk about some more events coming up here in a little while. We're going to go straight back to the phone calls. We have Jim on the line. Jim, go ahead with your question.
Yes. Good morning, Michelle. I thought maybe I'd pass on a little more information to Gerald if he's still listening.
Yes,
about the blackberries.
Thank you. You're so great. Thanks for calling in.
Well, that's quite all right. They're typically blackberries flower on 2-year-old canes, and those are called floricane varieties. The University of Arkansas has also developed some primacane varieties that flower on first-year canes. And the pruning on those two different varieties is different. The University of Arkansas has an extensive blackberry growing webinar, I guess you would say, online, and you can go there. It's geared more towards commercial blackberry production, but the principles are basically the same for home gardeners. And there's also a number of YouTube videos available on pruning primacane blackberries versus pruning floricane blackberries. So University of Arkansas is a good source, and also just YouTubing a search for primacane pruning or floricane pruning, depending on which varieties a particular gardener might have. So thought I'd pass that along.
Jim, you saved us. Thank you so much for that call. It's one of the things that I love about gardening in this community, you know, that everybody's so willing to share their experience and their expertise with everybody. So really appreciate that call, Jim. Thanks for that information.
I'm still learning, but I keep trying.
Yeah, I mean, we all are. I think that's the great thing about gardening is that there's always something to learn. And, you know, it's the community that we build around it is also really great. So appreciate it, Jim. Up next, we're going to go to Robert. Robert, go ahead with your question.
Question and a comment. First off, I've got a silver maple in my front yard. And it was one that wasn't pruned, I guess, when it was young. It forks at about 4 feet off the ground. And one of the forks has remained healthy. But, however, the ice storm and then the drought that we had this past spring has killed the other side of it. And what I'm trying to figure out is I hate to cut the tree down altogether because I enjoy the shade. It gives the house shade. But if I just prune off the one side that's dead, will the other side survive, or do I just need to take the whole thing down?
That is a really difficult question to answer without actually being at the tree. This is one where I'm going to say I would reach out to an arborist, especially someone who might be tree risk assessment qualified, especially because they can assess whether, like, the likelihood of that tree, you know, falling and declining, or, you know, hitting, you know, someone, or even, you know, on the other side, a plant healthcare person who would know more about potential, you know, diseases. It kind of also depends on how old the tree is. Mm-hmm. So if it's, do you happen to know that?
Well, the house was built, I think, in the 70s, and it's probably around, you know, I would assume it was around that time that the tree was planted, because it's pretty good. You know, at the base, it's probably, close to 24 inches.
So not a young tree, a very mature tree.
No. Yeah.
So in that case, what you would do is a little different than a young tree. Because if it was a young tree, I'd say, you know, it can probably handle it and, you know, cut it and then hope for the best. But yeah, I would definitely have someone come check it out. Unfortunately, I can't give you a straight answer for that. But yeah, unfortunately, silver maples are also just prone to breaking. And they're a little bit of a more brittle type of wood.
Yeah, it's a softer wood. And that's what I was going to say. You know, I definitely think getting an arborist out there to actually look at it, because sometimes when you take off a large branch, if it has the co-dominant branches and one side dies, you know, you do have a situation where the tree might become unstable by removing that branch. There's so many variables. And like Amanda was saying, it is a brittle tree. It's soft wood. They are prone to breakage. They're prone to that, you know, co-dominant branching a lot as well. So can the tree live after that pruning? It absolutely could. Should it is another question. So I think getting somebody out there to get eyes on it. If it's, and here's the other thing, if it's out in the middle of a turf area and you know, want to remove that branch and there's no way it's going to hit a house or other structures or people or damage anything, then you might, you know, just go ahead and do it and see what happens. But I mean, who knows? Who knows is my answer.
Trees are the greatest mystery of all.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's up to you.
Okay. And just a comment on the blackberries also. The floricanes, the ones that sprout this year won't produce fruit. But next year, when they green back up, they'll produce fruit. And then once they fruit in about June or July, then you cut those canes down, because then the next year's growth is coming up, and you don't want that energy to go to the old canes.
That makes sense.
The primacanes, as the other gentleman said, are a newer variety. One unique thing about them is they actually can produce fruit in the fall again, so you actually can get a smaller second crop.
Is there a way to know, if you don't know, I have blackberries in my yard that somebody gifted me. Is there a way to know if you have the floricane or the permacane?
I don't think just by looking that you can tell that much, although the primacane tend to be more aggressive in terms of sending out, you know, vining and branching and stuff like that. I think that's the floricane, I don't know which one I said, but the floricane is a little bit more aggressive. The primacane is a little bit more compact, I believe. But like I say, if it's something that somebody gifted you, it's probably still the floricane, because, you know, the primacane just being a newer variety.
Well, thank you so much, Robert, for your call and for the information on the blackberries. Good luck with that silver maple. We're going to take a quick break, guys. If you want to give us a call to ask your questions about trees or plants of any kind, winter gardening tips, things like that, 314-436-7900 is the number to call or text. You can chat with me and Amanda. And we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back to the Garden Hotline on...
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
1041 KMOX. We are back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser West, and I am joined today with Amanda Wood from the Missouri Department of Conservation. We have been talking trees. We've been talking plants. We've been learning a little bit about blackberries from our caller, so we appreciate that. If you guys have questions, you can give us a call, 314-436-7900. Also, have the text line is open, so if you have questions you don't want to call in and ask, just give us a text. You know, we've been talking a lot about, you know, this winter plant healthcare, tree healthcare, and things to plant and what to plant. You know, people think or are suspecting that their trees are not healthy. What are some of the signs of an unhealthy tree or tree canopy?
In the winter or?
Just in general.
Okay,
things that they should be looking for just in general.
So typically in the spring, if it doesn't leaf out, so that means putting out, you know, its new leaves. That's obviously a sign that something didn't go right there. Or if it's even like slow too. So if you look around and you see everyone else's tree has put out leaves and yours is a little behind.
Yeah.
That means that something's happening there. It's a little struggling. Or if the color is even different than normal. Again, if you have a different cultivar and yours has like stripes versus someone else's, then that would be the quote unquote normal. So there's that. If you have bark peeling off when it's not supposed to be peeling off, or fruiting bodies, like there's a lot of different, anything that deviates from the normal would be what I would say is a sign of concern.
So we have a text that came in. We actually have a couple of texts. The first one I have, it says, we have a home in deep southern Illinois. It has very rocky soil. We have planted service berries, dogwoods, red twig dogwoods, and with the drought, they are all kind of struggling. They've lost 5 of the red twig dogwoods, and I want to know if there's any suggestions for replacement plants. It's mainly filtered shade to full shade.
So that's a really hard one because I'm not, there's not a lot of like woody ones that I would recommend. I did, after doing a little perusing, some viburnums might be a good option if you're looking for like a native one. But I think that it might be just less of the species selection and just the environmental care. So watering it for the first 2 to 3 years is vital, especially during periods of drought. So I would maybe just encourage to try again and just keep watering up for those sites.
Yeah, I can't stress enough. And we spent a lot of time this year talking about this drought, and really it's, you know, extended into earlier. It wasn't just this fall. It was in February. We had, you know, some really dry times. Last fall, it was dry. You know, it's just been this kind of reoccurring theme where we're having you know, these massive fluctuations in, you know, drought to even rain events where, you know, here in St. Louis, we've seen around 7 inches within, you know, an hour or two. So there's just these massive fluctuations. So for me, you know, in my world, it's a lot different than Amanda's, but we're planting a lot of things in residential settings. And I have to tell you, the last couple of years for us has been, you know, one of the biggest struggle times for us getting new plantings established. You know, we even have clients with irrigation systems that we had plants struggle with because the irrigation wasn't keeping up with some of the watering needs. So I am not convinced that your red twig dogwoods are the wrong choice for that area. I mean, typically they can do well in some dappled shade. They do well, you know, they're a drought tolerant species. So I wouldn't necessarily blame the plants. I would blame the current weather patterns that we've been having. If you do want to try something different, you know, I really like the fragrant sumac. The native is great. There's some there's a cultivar that people use if you're into cultivars called Grow Low. It's G-R-O-L-O-W. Grow Low sumac is a type of fragrant sumac, but they're good for rocky soils. It's also really good for erosion control. And then I would think about not necessarily the woodies. Think about some perennials, because there are so many perennials out there that do well in shade, dry, rocky soils. A lot of carrots, a lot of ferns do well. So I would try that. And like Amanda said, like water, water, water until they're established. These new plants that don't have their root systems quite established yet really can't take the fluctuation and drought. So you really have to water and water long and slow so that they're really getting saturated. You know, if you're using a hose, you know, I always tell people you can't just go out there and squirt them with a little bit of water and think they're going to do well. It really has to be a long, slow watering in times, in all times, but especially in times of drought.
Yeah. And what I would also encourage too is look around at your natural areas. What plants, if you find an outcrop of rocky soil that's shady, what plants are there and do they seem like they're doing well? And you can potentially emulate what's happening there at home.
Yeah. Great point. Another text that came in, I feel like before I even read this to Amanda, she's going to have a strong reaction to it. This is the question is, you know, does spark some very visceral feelings in some plant nerds and tree nerds out there. But I'm going to answer or ask it because we had a text come in. It says that they want to top off my tree. Should I try to do that now or wait? What do you think?
The answer is never. Professionally, as a certified arborist, I guess the question I do have more is like, why is there a desire if it looks like the tree is going to be hitting a power line? Topping trees is not great for them because it actually really damages them and can lead to decline in the trees. So I would recommend to not do it if possible. I will say I was muted for my initial reaction to this, you know, question, but it's not recommended to top them.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I'm not defending topping trees because people are always going to say, well, I've done it before, or, you know, my neighbor did it and the tree is fine and all of those things. And that's true. Right. Mm-hmm. You can do it. The tree can be, quote unquote, fine. But doing a severe pruning, especially on established trees, all of that stresses the tree out. It opens trees up to pest and disease issues. The long term overall health is, you know, not good. You mentioned power lines, you know, like if you have a tree that you're constantly having to prune because of power lines or anything overhead, that's the wrong tree for that mm-hmm. place. So, you know, even when you're thinking about planting a new tree, think about the size, the mature size, and what you want it to look like. So if we're planting the right tree the first time, then we won't have to spend all of that money and worry about the health of our trees.
Yeah, no, for sure. And especially because if you think about monetarily, you have to keep pruning the same thing over and over again. That's super expensive depending on what it is and who you have to reach out to do it. So it could save you money in the long run if you even think about potentially removing the issue tree and just replacing it with the appropriate size. But I would, yeah, please don't top your trees.
It's a, you know, like I said, a lot of people have some strong opinions about that on both sides of the coin. So we're going to take a quick break. Guys, we have one final segment left with Amanda. We're going to answer some more questions. 314-436-7900 to talk to us on the Garden Hotline. It's 1041 KMOX. We are back to the final segment of the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, and I am joined today by Amanda Wood from the Missouri Department of Conservation. We've been having a good time this morning, but we do only have about 10 minutes left to talk to you guys. So we have Anthony on the line. He just called in, so we're going to go straight to him. Anthony, go ahead with your question.
Hi, Amanda. I got big Bradford pears that are underneath power lines, which are beautiful to cover up the power lines. I really don't want to take too deep because I like them covering up the power lines. But is it a good time to trim those? And the other one is the same thing about bushes around my house. I've never killed them, and I do them any time of the year. But is it a good time to trim bushes down to that are 8 feet tall? I'd like to trim them back to 4 feet tall.
Yeah, so I'll start with the easier topic, which is your bushes, because I just be mindful of the amount of canopy that you're pruning off of that, how much leaf cover. Wintertime is a good time for those woodies just because they're dormant. They haven't put out their new leaves yet. So I would just be mindful of that. Maybe don't do too much canopy at one time. See how it handles it for the spring and, you know, summer. And then maybe next year or next winter, you can, if it seemed like it was handling the amount that you pruned off, you can do a little bit more. I would say, you know, like no more than 25%, no more than a quarter of it. So it just depends on how much leaf cover you have. And then as for the Bradford pears, personally, not the biggest fan of Bradford pears because they are really invasive. So technically, if you do want to prune them, this is the best time while they do not have leaves. Now, a joke in arboriculture is you can do one cut and it's called a basal cut. It's at the bottom and you remove the tree. But yeah, I think it's one of those that you just be mindful of that. Now, if you're working near power lines, I would highly, highly, highly encourage getting a professional to do that because there is actually regulations that come with that and arborists who are certified to handle that stuff.
Hey, thank you for the info. I appreciate that. Yeah. 25% is that's the first time I've heard that. And like I said, I've been lucky. I've just gone out there and hacked away at them with a chainsaw, and I've never killed them off yet. And I don't really want to go that deep this year, but I would like to bring them way back every year, make them look better when they.
Yeah, 25 to 30% canopy is what I recommend.
Thank you very much for that.
No problem.
Thanks, Anthony. You know, I love the questions about pruning. I do agree with you that the Bradford pear only needs the one cut. they're just so invasive. It's just such a huge problem. You know, I know that not everyone can always afford to, you know, have tree removal. It's very expensive. You know, but as you can, you know, removing those Bradford pears is really important. Again, if you can, I know it's expensive. And I know in the springtime, you should check it out. There's a lot of organizations or a couple organizations that will do a Bradford pear buyback. They'll give you a free native tree if you remove your Bradford pear. So I'll get you more information on those in the springtime, but definitely getting rid of those Bradford pears. We did have one more text message I wanted to hit before the end of the show. The question is, we've had some winter hardy magnolias that do great. And recently we've gotten some volunteer magnolias popping up from those existing. In the springtime, they transplanted them to 5-gallon buckets, and now they're doing great. The buckets are still outside on the backside of their home where they're getting morning sun, and the dirt is about 4 inches from the top of the bucket. Should we plan to bring those inside over winter, or should they be okay outside? And then should we continue to baby them in buckets for a couple of years or just plant them?
So what I would encourage is that, one, that the root flare is not covered up in terms of your planting. I know you say it's like 4 inches, but that isn't in relation to the root flare. You want to make sure it's exposed. you don't necessarily need to bring them inside. If they've been outside the whole time, then they're fine. The only thing I would encourage is to put mulch around the pots, or, you know, straw or something insulating so that the roots don't freeze. You don't need to do anything with the top part of it. The bottom part should be fine, or just doing the pots. The last part of that is, you could baby them if you want to be a little taller. I would not. I would probably just in the spring go ahead and plant them, so that they can go ahead and get used to the new soil. If you leave them in the pots for too long, they'll get root bound, and the roots will grow and grow in a circle, and that can be a real pain to undo when you go to plant them. So maybe a good Arbor Day planting to do in your yard this upcoming spring.
Great questions today, guys. We got a couple minutes left. Amanda, will you tell us about any more events that might be coming up for the Department of Conservation?
There are so many, and I won't highlight the tree ones because I feel like that's me going too much in my own wheelhouse. But we have in St. Charles County at the regional office, the Bush Memorial Conservation Area, we have an owl prowl happening December 19th at 6:30 p.m. to about 8, where you can go try to find some owls. This is a great time for winter owl birding, because this is the time that we can actually see them. So, you know, it's out the Bush Memorial Conservation Area, you know, just appropriately because it will be outside a majority of the time. And the last one that I do want to highlight, it's a little bit from now. It's in February, but it's a really big event for us. And it's our Eagle Adventure, and it's at the Runge Conservation Nature Center. And it's a whole day of eagles where we have activities and crafts and learning stations, live eagle presentations, and even going to look for bald eagles flying around. And it's really fun, and I'm very excited for it. And it is from 10:30 to 3 p.m. on February 7th.
Where can people find out more information or contact you?
That's you can find all of this, all of the different events that I did not highlight at mdc.mo.gov. Again, you can look by your county about the different people to reach out to. But if you want to reach out to me specifically, my email is amanda.wood@mdc.mo.gov. Again, amanda.wood@mdc.mo.gov. You can reach out with any questions or concerns, or if you want to talk about a fun tree that you have in your yard, I'm happy to talk trees.
Thanks so much, guys. If you need more information on that, you can reach out to me at STO Plant Nerd on both Facebook and Instagram. I posted a link to the Department of Conservation. Thanks so much for joining us today, and thanks to everybody for the questions. This is the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.